So it was just a few hours ago when the disciples were in that boat on the Sea of Galilee and a great storm arose. And the waves were crashing into the boat and they feared for their lives. They were convinced that they were about to die. When Jesus stood up and he faced that powerful storm and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And the disciples looked and stared in wonder and amazement and asked, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" But all of it was merely an easy warm-up swing for the Son of the Most High God. It was nothing compared to the power that he was about to show them once they got out of the boat. They sail to the shore of the Gerizim country, and Jesus, he steps out onto the land, and a man who is possessed by many demons approaches. He was naked. He was a threat to himself and to others, so much so that he had been chained to empty caves and tombs, the same place where they would put dead people and people like him. But he was very strong and much stronger than the chains, and he would break them and run wild. And this time, he runs right in to Jesus, the one who has power over the wind and the waves. But this is much different, far different. Demonic possession is not to be played with, the kind of stuff that exorcism movies touch upon, the kind of thing that we see in our own worst imaginations and fears. Spiritual forces of evil, evil spirits and demonic possession is real, and it is very dangerous, much more than some silly storm on a sea. And it's at this point the disciples are probably wishing that they were back in the boat, even if a storm would come surging back, rather than being right here, just a few feet away from the reality that Satan is real. And the full display of his power is shown when he torments people's lives and wrecks them completely. So the man sees Jesus, and he cries out and falls down before him and says with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." The demon begs Jesus not to torment him, which is a funny thing considering that that's all he does to the man, the demon. It's the very thing that he's been doing, tormenting him day and night. We're told that the man was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert to be tormented. All day, all night, day in and day out, his entire life long, so much so that the entire world would see his brokenness. He lived in a tomb for everyone to see. He wasn't allowed to live in a house or behind closed walls. He lived out in a tomb. He was naked for all to see, no clothes to cover him up. His brokenness and the full extent of his torment was on full display for everyone to see. You and I are just as helpless to Satan's attacks. We're just better at covering them up. We hide our brokenness and the torment that we experience. We don't want others to see the tombs that we live in, the reality that we are chained and shackled to, that we too are driven by the devil and our own sinful desires. We don't want anyone to see us, to hear the loud cries of our burdened consciences, and so we cover up and hide ourselves in the tombs of our own making. Our tombs today in 21st century America are much different than the tombs in the Gerizim country. Our tombs are lined in electronics and technology that promises that we will have open relationships with others, but in fact, they do the opposite. They close our relationships off. And the gates to our tombs are covered with filtered images of ourselves looking righteous, looking like we're fun to be around, looking like we are happy all the time, so that any passerby who happens to stop by and take a peek at us, either strolling by or scrolling by, would see how good and faithful of a Christian I am. Yet the Lord sees the reality of your condition. He sees that you are helpless to Satan's attacks. He sees that you have your chains. And he sees that you too have been tormented day and night by the voices of the evil one. Demons live to torment us. Yet they beg of the one whom the angel says to Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. They beg of him, do not torment me. And Jesus gives them permission. Because he knows, as well as every demon, that their final fate will be into the bottomless pit. That the day is coming, declares the Lord, when Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and false prophets were, and there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10. So Jesus, he heals the man, and he sends the demons into a herd of pigs who immediately run wild, just as the man once did, but to their own death, plunging themselves into the waters, drowning themselves into the crashing waves, because that seems far better than being possessed by this kind of power, by demonic possession. And the disciples stare at Jesus in amazement and wonder, and they ask, who is this that even demons obey him? But all of this is merely a warm-up swing for the Son of the Most High God. Not only does he have power over the wind and the waves, not only does he have power over the demonic forces of evil and Satan himself, he shows it, his ultimate power, when he steps foot into Jerusalem to lay himself down on that cross. Everything is building to this ultimate moment in Jesus' ministry. Everything Jesus does is pointing his disciples and us to his cross, to his own tomb, where the sins of the whole world would be laid on his back. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, was crucified for us, dead and was buried, and this Jesus God raised from the dead, thereby destroying the power of death itself. And the disciples look at Jesus, who is risen from the dead, in amazement. And they ask, who is this that even death obeys him? Who is this Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? And what have you to do with me? Along with the demoniac, with Peter in the boat, we throw ourselves at his feet and we beg for mercy. Depart from me, for I am a sinner. I have my chains and my shackles, and I am bound in tombs of my own making and filled with my own sin and addictions, and driven out by the devil into the desert again and again and again, and I've spent my entire life trying to hide it. But you see it clearly. I am exposed and naked before you. Have mercy on me, O Son of the Most High God. And if crashing waves can be overcome by Jesus with a word, if demonic forces of evil and Satan himself can be overcome by Jesus with a word, if death itself can be overcome by Jesus with a word. If God has power over all these things which torment us day and night, then he most certainly has power over your sin to forgive it entirely, to remove it from you as far as the east is from the west by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High. You are forgiven and your sins are washed clean, freely forgiven, all of them. Your tombs, your addictions, your sin, your tormenting actions, forgiven, not by what you have done, but by what Jesus Christ has done for you. For the one who does not believe, for the one who has not been baptized into Christ, then you are still bound to the evil one and still stuck in your sin and still fighting that which torments you with your own power. And believe me, that power will never be enough. But to the one who believes in Jesus, to the one who has been baptized into his name, who has drowned all of their sin in the blessed waters of his righteousness and mercy, and who has been raised up in Christ in the waters of baptism, then you have been set free, forgiven. And this forgiveness is perfect, and it is complete, and it has been done for you. Even while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. And your sin is no match for the power of Jesus. Your death is no match against the power of Jesus. And the devil's torment over you is no match against the power of Jesus. It's all been done for you. Forgiveness. New life in his name and freedom and having peace with God. God has done it all for you and his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And so now, go and return to your homes and declare how much God has done for you. Tell others. Tell yourself. Tell your family. Tell Satan himself that God so loved me that he gave his one and only Son for me. And he has drowned all my sins in the waters of baptism. And he has made me his child forever, all by his doing, by his grace alone. And I am who I am today, freely forgiven and set free, all because of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Amen.